Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to Rosh Meir Salashim class learning. Hope everyone had a meaningful Shabbos and Baruch Hashem, an uplifting weekend. Excuse me. Okay, we'll begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibra. Ribono Sha'olam, Hiratzim Ufanecha Al Rachim Lechanan, Shatizikini Hayom Uvechol Yom Lishmar Pilu, Shani Milashan Hara Uvechilis, Ezarim Lidabar Filal, Ishiachi Vekosh Kena Kaiso, O Chelek Mehem. Kosh came this room, Amidosip Shah Kosh Barhu. Bezarm the Dabra de Vesheker Hanufa Machokas Kas Gaiva, Ona Astvarim Habanas Panam late son is Vahodibra Asr. Zakini Shah the Dabra Kim Dabra Hatsarikli Nani Gufi Vinafshi, Yukoma Saiva Dibura, the Shem Shamayim, Amen Va Amen. As always, we are learning the Zecher Nishmas and the Ului Nishmas, Svi Gershon Benio Vachana Alavasham. May the Neshama merit of Zechus Aliyah and Zechira Latova and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share this morning. And also an Aliyah Neshama for Zev Vov Ben Yeshaya Alav Hashem. May the Neshama merit of Zechus Aliyah and Zechira Latova as well. And with your gracious permission, as a Zechus Rafua for Brach Avigail, Bas Rachel Delta, and all the Cholim Besoch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. So let us get right into our learning this morning. A couple of things I wanted to start with. I think I may have told this to you already. I don't know. The reason I think I may have told it to you is because in the Sefer, I have some handwritten notes. Since it's about Shemir Salashan, I feel like it's something that I would have said over in this class. I do not remember it. Maybe you do remember it. If you remember it, you're having a chazara. If you don't remember it, then it'll be like I'm sharing it for the first time again. I'm not sure if I shared it in this class. It could have been in a different class. But it's powerful and relevant, so I'm definitely going to begin with it. I was looking through the Sefer, short and sweet on the Parsha, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman, distributed by Feldheim, and I saw an amazing insight about Noach. So I know we're a couple weeks past Parshas Noach, but that's okay, Torah is always timely and relevant, and we have to remember that Noach was saved in a teva, and teva doesn't only mean ark, boat, teva also means word. If you've ever learned Chumash and you've learned about the Rosh Tevos, okay, it's the first letter of each word. So Teva clearly means word in addition to Ark. So this is extremely interesting. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman writes in his Sefer, ready? The length of the Teva was 300 amos. The width was 50 amos. The length was 300. The width was 50. And the height was 30. So it's 300 by 50 by 30. What is the significance of these numbers, besides where it had to be ark to hold all the people? The gematria of each of these letters, shin is 300, nun is 50, and lamed is 30. The dimensions of the teva were 300 by 50 by 30. 300 is shin, 50 is nun, lamed is 30. Well, those three letters together, lamed, shin, nun, of course, spell lashon. This hints to the idea that Hashem wanted Noach to instill feelings of teshuva into the people of generation, primarily through the correct use of his power of speech, which he did not do, which is why Moshe comes along. Famously, Moshe is a Gilgal of Noach, as per the Zohar. Moshe uses his speech, his entire career, is negotiating with the people, talking to the people, praying to God, speaking to Paro. Moshe uses his speech, the power of Lashon, to free the people where Noach did not. But it's amazing that the Teva, Amos of the Teva, which means ark and word, the dimensions in Gematria spell Lashon, Lamed, Shin, Nun. So I was thinking to myself that we learn from here that an ark, just like a Teva, can physically save somebody. It saved Noach and his family and other animals from being washed away in destruction that whole year in the ark. Just like the Teva can physically save somebody from destruction, so too the proper use of the Lashon, which is the Gematria of Teva, can save a person from spiritual destruction when they use their Lashon properly. So that was one thing I found amazing. The dimensions of the Teva, 300 by 50 by 30. Gematria equals Lashon, Lamed, Shin, Nun, to teach us the power of speech to heal, to save, like Noach and his family were saved in the Teva, or Chas V'Sham, the other way. Furthermore, this is extremely interesting, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman writes, he quotes a pasuk which we've quoted many times, the pasuk in Mishlei says, Perek Yud Ches, pasuk of Aleph, pasuk in Mishlei says, Maves V'Chayim B'Yad Lashon. Vel Ochol Piriyah, I'm sure you've remembered the pasuk, Maves V'Chayim B'Yad Lashon. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. Our Shlomo Zalman Bregman points out that the Roshei Tevos of Mavis V'Chayim B'Yad Lashon spell the word Mabul. Mavis is a Mem, V'Chayim is a Vav, B'Yad is a Beis, and Lashon is a Lamed. Mem, Vav, Beis, Lamed. You can rearrange those letters and it spells Mabul. It was primarily where he writes that through the power of speech, the Noach was charged to inspire his generation to Teshuvah and lead them from the path of oblivion back to spiritual life. So you could say that through the power of Mavis V'Chayim B'Yad Lashon, which spells Mabul, through using our speech properly, a person can be saved from the deluge or from using our speech disparagingly, improperly, not tapping into the vital life force of Koach HaDibur. We can bring a Mabul upon ourselves, upon those we speak to or about, and upon our world. So I just thought that these were two incredible insights from Parshas Noach directly related to the power of Koach HaDibur. Lashon is the dimensions of the Teva. Teva means ark, and Teva means word. A positive word can save a person from annihilation, just like the Teva dimensions Lashon save Noach and his family. The Hafech is also true. If a person uses his words destructively, he will not be saved. Furthermore, Mavis V'Chayim B'Yad Lashon are the Rosh Tevas of Mabul, to show you that literally death and life are in the hands of the tongue. Just like the same Mabul that brought death to the whole world brought life to Noach, he was saved from the Mabul. Our tongue can either ensure that we will be saved from the Mabul, like we will learn today more in detail, or Rachman Aletzan, we will be washed away with the Mabul, God forbid. Okay, the next thing I want to do is quote actually from my son's notes. My son is in Yeshiva Darchei Torah Masifta Chaim Shlomo. He's in 11th grade in the Masifta. And these are his notes from, he dorms in Yeshiva, so last week I was speaking to him, he called to say hello, and he said Rav Kilson gave Avad, Rav Kilson's a Mashkech, and he said Rav Kilson gave Avad, the Musar Avad last night, he says, was on Lashon Hara. So I said, oh, I want to hear. Because I, first of all, for myself, and also I'm always looking for things that I can teach over to you. In this class, of course, teach to myself first, and then teach over to you. So these are my son's notes from Rav Kilson, the Mashkiach, in the Masifta, Vad on Lashon Hara. My son said it's like the Lashon Hara week, so I asked him why. He said he's not sure, but someone was Nifter, so someone's Yurtzer, and they were very big into Inyanei Shmiras HaLashon, so the yeshivos raise awareness last week, in other words, and they Avadim and Mr. Shmuzin on Lashon Hara. Okay, so this is what my son wrote. Rav Kilson Shlita, the Vad this week, was about Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara Vad. He gives it every year. Okay. We say every day, this is very interesting, we say every day, okay, V'talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and our Birkas HaShachar, we say V'talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and learning Torah equals all, okay, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Meaning that Talmud Torah equals the Taryag Mitzvos. Learning Torah equals 113 Mitzvos. Chazal also tells, however, the Maseches Erechin, which we learned, I guess last year, I don't know, the Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. Lashon Hara is also Keneged Kulam. Torah and Lashon Hara are mixed in with each other. We say every day at the end of the Shemona Esrei, read it, and we say, Elokai Netzor L'Shoni Mira. Hashem, guard my tongue from speaking bad. We begin by saying, Elokai Netzor L'Shoni Mira. And then we say, P'sachli B'Besor Sacha. So what is the connection, the kesher between Elokai, my God, Nitzor Lishoni Meira, guard my tongue from speaking bad, and on the other hand, Petach Libi B'Sor Secha, open my heart to your Torah. What's the kesher? The kesher is, says Rav Kilson, just like we have to understand that Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam, every word of Torah equals all the 630 mitzvahs. One word of Torah is Keneged Kol Torah Kulam. But that's how you have to understand the severity of Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. Every word of Lashon Hara, Rachmana Litzal, is Keneged, is opposite, is destructive, Kaviacha, of Talmud Torah, of Torah. And my son told me, it's not in his notes, but he told me, Rav Kilson told the Bachrim, he said, just stop for a minute and listen to the voices in a base medrash. And a base medrash is Baruch Hashem thundering with the Mechamta Shel Torah. Stop for 1 minute and listen to that Torah. All those, you know, chavrusas, all those bachrim, all those men who are learning Torah, think how powerful is every minute of every word of Torah learning. And now think of the opposite. Think of a 1 minute of thundering voices one word of Lashon Hara, Rachmana Litzlan, brings to this world. Those words of Torah hold up the whole world. Close your eyes. Think for 1 minute. Just sit in silence and listen to the thundering voices of Torah. Each word of Torah is keneged kulam. And then Chazal say, you know what else is keneged kulam? V'lashon hara keneged kulam. Imagine closing your eyes for 1 minute and listening to all the sounds of Lashon Hara. Rachman Latzlan, that is also keneged, opposite, destructive kulam. And Rav Kilson continued, when people get calls for shidduchim or work, they use a heter called to'elas. To'elas. First of all, Rav Kilson said, if you don't know what to'elas is, you don't know what's to'elas, you don't know what you can say and what you can't say. And second of all, once you open your mouth to the heter of to'elas, the dam opens, D-A-M, and all the water flows out. We have to understand the chashivas of every single word. The dam opens and all the water flows. So very often a person begins with to'elas and then they move on to things that are not to'elas or not included in that. So it shows you how careful you have to be. You have to ask the shayla. You really have to know what you can say and what you can't say. And I told my son, when he told me this part, the dam opens and all the water flows. It reminds me of something the Ramban. The Ramban says that at the beginning of Rosh Chodesh, we end with Elokai Nitzar Lishoni Mira. But it begins with Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, which is a pasuk from Perek Nanaf of Tehillim. So interestingly, our Amida is sandwiched between these two pillars. On the one hand, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, Ufiyagiti Asecha, and on the other hand, Elokai Nitzar Lushoni Meira, Usvasecha Medaber Mirma. These are the bookends of the Shemana Esrei. So the Ramban teaches that Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, Sefasai, means two things. Sfas is your lips, but it's also the riverbank or the shore. Like Paro's dream, Vihine omeid al Sfas hayar. The Sfas is the shore, the riverbank. So we're asking Hashem, just like a river when the tide is high, or maybe that's just for an ocean, that when there's abundant rain, it overflows onto the riverbank. So we're asking Hashem that our lips should overflow with tefillah. The tefillah of our heart should overflow. There should be an outpouring of prayer. Hashem, Sefasai Tiftach, please open my banks. Let my tefillahs overflow to you. Just like the water overflows the banks of the river. But the hafach is also true. We have to make sure when we open and that there is an overflow, it's proper words. It's words of compliments, it's words of Torah, it's words of chesed. It's not words of leitzanas, habanas panim, echol, keskaas, gaiva, rechilas, and lashon har. So Rav Kielsen said, once a person opens their mouth to the heter of to'elas, the dam opens and everything flows out. Rav Kielsen gave 5 bullet points to remember to help be zahir, to be on guard in this inyan of lashon har. One, he quoted Rav Meilich Biederman, the great Rav Meilich Shlita. He gives a mashal. Oh, listen to this mashal. My son didn't just write this. He told it to me also. First, it was about peh. Okay? A prince gets thrown into jail. There's a certain king. And the king, for whatever reason, something happens. And the prince gets thrown into jail. Somehow he gets hold of the keys from the prison warden. He goes in and out freely as he wants. He goes out in the morning. He gets some exercise. He goes hunting. At night, he comes back to sleep. But he does whatever he wants. One day, the prison warden says, the king, your father is coming. This is Rav Kielsen quoting Rav Meilich Biederman. So he goes into the cell. He's all humbled. He's sitting on the low floor. He's a prisoner. He's waiting for his father to come. He's bent over. And he puts himself, when his father comes, he sees, for whatever reason, the prince, I don't know, that part of the story is not here, the Masha, the prince had to be thrown into jail in the first place, and he looks like he's such a humble, contrite, sorry prisoner. So he says, Father, please let me out. Father, please grant me pardon. Father, please help me get out of here. So the answer to this prince is, who are you kidding? You go in and out as you want. You're out all day. You open and close the door whenever you want. That's us. All day we open and close our mouths, speaking at free will. And then it's the Shemona Esrei. We come before Hashem. We say, Hashem, Sefasai Tiftach, please help me speak the right words. Who are we kidding? The whole day we're speaking whatever we want. The whole day we sometimes don't even give thought to the words that come out of our mouth. And then we stand on Shachris, a Mincha, and Arvis, and we say, Oy Hashem, Sefasai Tiftach, please help me, please free me. You already freed yourself. So we have to think about what we speak to them. We stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam, we share Sam Safasai Tiftach. We're not embarrassed like the prince who's just putting on a show for his father. That was number one. My son wrote in the notes, this one's very cute. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim v'chuli nitzol ha'shon chameira. I don't remember fully, so I'll get back to you. So Nakuda 2 has something to do with Sefer Tehillim, Perek Lamedale. But mi ha'isha chafetz chayim ohev yamim lirostov. If we always see the good, we could say, then you'll always guard your tongue. 3. So these are the 5 nekudos, the 5 bullet points that Rav Kilson gave in the Lashon Haravad for remembering the Koach HaDibur. One is from Rav Meilich Biederman, the mashal of the prince and the keys and going free whenever he wanted. 2 is from the pasuk from Perek Lamed of Tehillim, Lamed Dalet of Tehillim, Nitzol Lashon Chameiros, Vesach Medaber Mirma, Miyisha Chavetz Chaim. The 3rd nekuda, the 3rd bullet point, when we learn the Isra, the prohibition of Lashon Har from Shvua Shav. Shvua Sheker. Right? An oath, it's a lie. Sheker. Why? Because when we speak Lashon Hara about others, even though they have so much good, we touch them up with Lashon Hara. And that's Sheker. That's not who they are. So we should remember Shvua Sheker. When we speak words of falsehood, that's at its essence what Lashon Hara is. Because instead of focusing on the good of the person, we talk about them with Lashon Hara. And that's Sheker. That's not who the person really is. That's not who the Yid really is. Look much deeper inside. Don't speak the Sheker that you see about them. I'm going to add on to here. Be a Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev, the great defender of the Jews, who always saw the best in each and every Yid and defended them to Ribbono Shel Olam. Which ties right into the next Nakuda. If you're standing next to a father who's standing with his son, would you go over to the father in front of the son and start speaking Lashon Hara about the son? We are standing in front of Hashem, our father. How could you stand before God and speak badly about his children? You're right in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's his child. How could you go up to a father in front of the child and start speaking negatively to the father about his child, in front of the child and in front of the father? You're always before Hashem. Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Shemi. So when we open our mouths to speak inappropriate speech, whether it's Lashon Hara or Kaas or Gaiva or Nas Dvarim or Vechilus or Sheker, you're standing right before Hashem talking to or about his own child. How could you do that before a father? And finally, Rav Meilich, again, the last Nakuda, Rav Kilson quotes from Rav Meilich Biederman. Rav Meilich tells a certain maisa, a certain happening. A woman comes home on Erev Shabbos. She has a juicy piece of Lashon Hara. And the whole day and throughout the Suda, she really wants to say it, but she holds back. She wants to say it, she holds back. Ultimately, she does not say the Lashon Hara, and she manages to hold back. At that point, she goes into the kitchen, and there's a huge knife in her son's mouth. And she said to her son, say, ah, and she's able to slip the knife out smoothly. This is from Rav Meilich Biederman. She felt that in this chus that she didn't say the Lashon Hara, her son didn't get hurt. So we have to imagine that the words of Lashon Hara are a sharp sword in our mouth. And if we pull out that sword, that knife from our mouth, but Derek, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that you're going to get cut, you're going to get damaged, you're going to get cut up. So forget for a second what you do to the other person. Think of your own self. Who wants to do that to themselves? I want to tell you something crazy. My son told me part of this Baal Peh last week, and then I read these written up notes Erev Shabbos. Okay, we were away for Shabbos by my in-laws in Brooklyn, and I don't know if anyone's ever done this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but people tend to do it. I saw somebody else at the meal doing it. And at the meal, I always use a fork and a knife, Baruch Hashem, and I always have a knife. I don't push the food with my fingers, whatever, fine. So did you ever do that, you caught something, and after you put the food in your mouth, there's something on the knife, and you put it in your mouth to, did anyone ever do that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes, Michal, it's the only person who does this. Do you know what I'm talking about? No, you, thank you very much, okay? Yeah, okay, a bunch of you are saying yes. It's not just me. Not like licking the plate, that's not what I mean. You cut it, there's a piece of chicken on the fork you put in your mouth, and then maybe, like I'm saying, so you just go like this, okay? If it's bad manners, that's not the point of the story. So at my in-law's house, and I did that, it was by the soup course. I think there was like some hummus on my knife or something. And right away I felt that I cut my lip. I cut my lip and I started bleeding. I said, oh, I think I cut myself. I started bleeding. And I thought it was like nothing, so I just stayed at the table. Then I realized I was bleeding more and more and more. My upper lip in the right corner, so I left the table to go to the bathroom. Got it to try to stop bleeding. And right away, my mother-in-law said, oh, those knives are so sharp. So, which I realized after. The next day, there was someone else at the table, and she started to put the knife to her lip. She had been there Friday night also. I said, no, don't do that. And as I went to the bathroom to get to stop the bleeding, it took a few minutes. It was bleeding a lot. But I said, I was standing like behind a hallway and I could see the dining room. So I called my son. I said, Shmuel. He looked at me. I said, Rav Kielsen's Vat. Because it took me a few minutes. But then I thought about what Rav Meilich Biederman says about the mother who goes into the kitchen and her son has a sharp knife in his mouth. And she manages to pull it out without causing any damage. So, of course, I thought, what does Hashem tell me? So I think, did I speak any Lashon Hara today? I thought, I'm sure I did, even though I couldn't think of anything. I thought, I don't think I spoke any Lashon Hara today. I don't know what the message, why that happened. But I had just read this. And then that happened Friday night, which is exactly the Maisa that happened with this mother. And it was Leil Shabbos. And her son had a sharp knife in the mouth. So when I went back to the table, Baruch Hashem, the bleeding stopped. So my son told me, Rav Kielsen told the boys in the Vad that the whole week he's having like things with his mouth that he doesn't usually have. Like it got cracked, it was bleeding, something happened. And the whole week he's just much more aware of this. So mamash happened to me after I read this. So Hashem is sending us messages all the time. And when we think of Lashon Hara, we have to think that there is a sharp sword in a person's mouth. So Lamaisa, they were very, very sharp knives, and my father said after that they were very dull knives, so they took them to someone to be sharpened. Well, how was I supposed to know? I didn't know. The next day, the lady did. I said, don't do that, but Lamaisa, you always have to think that that's what our words are. If we really felt that every word was a sharp knife in our mouth that's going to cut you, it was razor sharp, you would never speak it. You would think, there's a sharp knife, a sword in my mouth. How am I going to get it out? I don't want it there in the first place. If you don't want it there, don't open your mouth to speak Lashon Hara. And he finishes his notes by writing, we should be zocher to be zahir, and not chas v'shalom being nichshol Lashon Hara. So a few nekudos. Number one, just like Talmud Torah, to recap before we move on, just like Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, so too Lashon Hara is keneged kulam. And if you, close your eyes and listen to the thunderous voices of the Mechamta Shel Torah for only 1 minute, think of every word by every pair of chavrusas coming out of that base midrash in only 1 minute is keneged kulam of Torah. So now, do the adaraba. Think of 1 minute of Lashon Hara by all the voices around the world, Yidden, who are speaking it, chas v'sham, and what is that keneged, God forbid. Secondly, when you open your mouth for to'elas, the dam opens, and generally things come out that have nothing to do with to'elas. We spoke about Hashem Sufas Tiftach from the Ramban, Sfas Hayar. Make sure when you open your lips and the riverbanks overflow, it's Tfila Torah Chesed, and not an overflow of forbidden words. 5 bullet points, the mashal of the prince and the king. Hashem Sufas Tiftach, you're running around all day. What are you telling the king to open your jail cell? You're running around freely all day. Think of how our words are running around all day. 2, Kapitul Amid Dalet of Tehillim. 3, Shvua Sheker. If you remember Shvua Sheker, you'll remember not to speak Lashon Hara, because everything that you just said about another Yid is Sheker, because you're not seeing the essence, the pure neshama in that person. 4, would you disparage a son in front of his father? You're standing before the Melech Malchei Melechim. How could you say that about his children? 5, Rav Meilech and the woman who held back the whole day, even though she wanted to speak Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table. When she went into the kitchen, she saw a sword in her son's mouth, a sharp knife. She was able to pull it out and save him. She believed in the Zchus of not speaking Lashon Hara. What happened to Micha Haaretz Friday night? And finally, like my senses, we should be Zochah to be Zahir and not Chasushan being Nichshal in Lashon Hara. Going back to the beginning of the class, to remind us that Mavas V'chayim B'yad Lashon, Roshay Tevos Mabel. If you want to be saved from the Mabel, the destructive forces that roam the earth. Even today, there are many destructive forces upon this earth. And we have to make sure that we have chayim b'yad lashon. Rachmana letzlan, if you want to be washed away in the flood, then maves b'yad halashon. The dimensions of the teva spell lashon, because the teva is something that can quite literally save us from harm and also means word. Okay, first part of shir. Second part of shir, I want to go back to a kuntras of Torah Avigdor, Rav Avigdor Miller, that we had been learning, that we took a break from, that relates to the ideas that were related in the first part of the shir, these ideas of positive speech, making sure your lips overflow positively. Don't trick yourself or the king by asking Hashem Sefasai Tiftach when your tongue was running rampant all day. Don't use the excuse of To'alas. So now we go to Rav Avigdor Miller. Speak with care. Rav Avigdor Miller says, don't think that what you say just bounces off of people. Many times people have committed suicide because of an unkind word. That's exactly what Mishlei tells us. Mavas v'chaim b'yad lashon. Roshetevas k'mabel. Brings death. They were already loaded down with so much discouragement. All they needed was one more word, and they said, to heck with it all. That's what he writes. A woman, a sensitive woman, told me her husband almost killed her once. She wasn't well. He came home, he said something careless, and she felt she was pierced by a sword. I'll tell you, those knives Friday night were so sharp. I said to my husband, table knives aren't supposed to be so sharp. I said, unless it's a steak knife, it's not supposed to be so sharp. So you have to think. Imagine if I really felt that every word of negativity was that knife that I picked up Friday night and cut myself with. I would never say it. You would never say it. Who wants to take a sharp knife that's razor sharp and cut their mouth? Nobody. So why do we let the words out? I couldn't believe it. My son told me last Tuesday, and I called to say that Rav Kilson's vow last night was on Lashon Hara. They said, of course I want to hear it. He told me the Maisa about from Rav Meilich about the king and the prince. And then I saw his notes that he wrote up. I read them Erev Shabbos. Then we drove to Brooklyn. I'm sitting at the table Friday night just a few hours later, and that's what happens. From the back corner of the dining room, my mouth, I said, Shmuel Rav Kilson's vow. So if I felt that every single word was like that razor sharp knife, I wouldn't put it out of my mouth. I wouldn't put it in my mouth, I wouldn't put it out of my mouth. Who wants that? I'll tell you a little story of a tzaddik who didn't vex with his wife any words. Rav Avigdor Miller continues, he's quoting from the Gemara now in Bava Metzia. But even without opening his mouth, he hurt his wife unintentionally. That's a form of onas dvarim, verbal oppression. We have to be intentional. We have to think what we're doing. We can't just be careless and unintentional and cause someone pain and harm. It's not an excuse. I wasn't thinking. Too bad. You should be thinking. Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiya, was a great man. Yehuda and Chizkiah are the two famous sons of Rabbi Chiya. Now, Chizkiah lived a long time, and he was the Rabbi of Rabbi Yochanan. He's frequently quoted in the Gemara. But the other brother of Rabbi Chiya, the other son, Yehuda, is found rarely in the Gemara. Why is he found so rarely? He died young. Why? The Gemara tells what happened. All week he sat in yeshiva, and he learned. He didn't come home at night. When would he come home? Erev Shabbos. And so every Friday, his wife would wait by the window, looking down the road. Maybe he's coming now. Maybe now. She's so happy her husband's coming home for Shabbos without a father. What kind of Shabbos is there? This is from Maseches Bava Metzia Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Which is funny because Bava Metzia is actually on my table because that's what Hashem, when we go back to the Sefer, which I thought we might get to. We're in Bava Metzia Nun Ches. So this is one daf after where we're actually up to in the Sefer. Okay? One Friday afternoon, it was getting late, and somebody asked Yehuda in the yeshiva a Talmudic question in which he was interested. He became involved in a discussion that dragged out. It became later and later, and his wife is sitting by the window waiting and waiting. She sees it's getting late. She sees there's no signs of her husband. Her heart fell within her, and she thought, maybe he's not coming home for Shabbos. And a tear dripped out of her eye. It fell down her cheek. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu took Yehuda's life. The Gemara concludes, be careful of ona'a against your wife. If she sheds a tear, your punishment will be swift. That, says Rav Avigdor Miller, is what the Gemara says. Now, says Rav Avigdor Miller, Yehuda was an innocent man. He loved Torah with all his heart. He certainly intended to come home, but because of a certain disregard for the feelings of his loyal wife who was waiting, he was punished severely. I'm going to quote from the biography of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, and I was preparing the shir, and I thought of this story immediately. I was also smiling because it's so apropos. For those who do not know, Shabbos, Yerav Cheshvan, is not only the yahrzeit of Rachel Imenu, it's also the yahrzeit of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel. Av Cheshvan is the yahrzeit of Rachel Imenu and the yahrzeit of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel. This Maisa, which I will share with you now, relates to Onas Dvarim, topic of our shir, the yahrzeit of Rachel Imenu and the yahrzeit of Rav Nassim Tzvi. Shechus Yagin Aleinu. Okay. So it's just his yahrzeit on Shabbos Kodesh. Rav Shia Ozer Halpern related the following story. He once took the Rosh Hashiva. It's such beautiful. If you didn't read it, I often recommend a different Sfarim in my Shi'arim. If you didn't read the art scroll biography of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, I highly recommend it. Rav Shira Ozer Halpin related, that he once took the Rosh Hashiva to visit a wealthy Hasidic Jew. And he asked this wealthy Hasidic Jew, they were going for a donation, he wanted to hear the famous story of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's visit to Kever Rachel. So the Rosh Hashiva of Nashon Tzvi said to Rav Shira Ozer Halpern, you were the one who took Rav Chaim Shmulevitz to Kever Rachel that morning, you tell the story. Rav Shira Ozer related, he had the privilege of walking with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. One day he asked Rav Chaim if he wanted to visit Kever Rachel. He responded, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz wanted to go to Kever Rachel, but he responded saying, was there a public payphone nearby? He wanted to tell his wife he would be home 45 minutes later than usual. The Talmidim found a phone. They told the Rabbitson, Rav Chaim this morning was going to Kever Rachel. Once they told Rav Chaim that the Rabbitson knew and they were going to Kever Rachel, he began to sob uncontrollably, as though a great calamity had struck. This past Shabbos was her Yahrzeit. His wailing was so heartrending. When they arrived at Kever Rachel, the soldier stationed there asked the Talmidim, did something actually happen? Rav Chaim entered Kever Rachel and he cried out, Mama, din zun Chaim ke is gekemen. It's a very famous story. Mama, din zun Chaim ke is gekemen. Mama, Mama, your son Chaim ke is here. He davened for all the people he knew who were sick and in need of Yeshuos. Before leaving, he famously declared, Mama, Hashem tells you to stop crying. Mini kolich mi bechi ve'einayich mi dima. By your son Chaim, because says, Vain, Mama, vain. Keep crying for your children. Well, Navi tells us, it's Jeremiah, Perak, Lamed, Aleph, Psukim, Yadal, through Tazayan, called Barama Nishma, Nihi, Bechita, Rumim, Achama, Vaka, Albana, Me'ena, Hilachem, Albana, Keinenu, and yet, Ko, Amar, Hashem, and Nikolich, Mibechi, and Naich, Midima, Yesh, Scharle, Pula, Tech, Num, Hashem, Vishabu, Meretz, Eliev, Yesh, Tikva, Acharisech, Vishabu, Banim, Legvulam. Shem tells her, stop crying. Rav Chaim said, keep crying, Mama, keep crying. Sensing that the chassid was very moved by this story, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, whose yahrzeit was also Shabbos, Yerav Cheshvan, said to this wealthy chassid, the donor, what do you learn from this story? So the man replied, I see the feeling and the heart that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz had for Klal Yisrael. Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel replied, while that is certainly true, he said, I see something else. If you're going to come home late, call your wife and let her know. In this brief encounter, the Rosh Hashiva took the opportunity to impart an important lesson in Midos and Shalom Bais that would remain with the donor forever. How apropos not only for Yerav Cheshvan, it's a story that connects both of Nassim's fee sensitivity, his Yahrzeit, with Rachel Yemenu's tears, our Yahrzeit. But it's exactly what Avigdor Miller is teaching us. And that's what the Gemara, Rachman al-Tzan, says about this Yehuda. His wife is waiting by the window, waiting by the window, waiting by the window. And he didn't come, and she shed a tear. And the Ribbono Shel Olam took his life. And the Gemara says, be careful of ona'a with your wife. If she sheds a tear, your punishment will be swift. Now, says Rav Avigdor Miller, Yehuda was an innocent man. He loved her with all his heart. He intended to come home, but he had a certain disregard for the feelings of his loyal wife, and he was punished. Now, that's a story that should cause us to tremble. V'yareisa me'elokecha. Be afraid. We begin to understand what it means, ona'as devarim, to vex people with words. If a tear caused unintentionally had such severe repercussions, how much more so when a husband pierces his wife with the sword of a sharpened tongue. It happened to me Friday. Do you understand? I read this about this mother who goes into the kitchen and her son has a knife in his mouth and the whole day she wants to speak Lashon Hara. And there I am Friday at the Shabbos Suda and it happened to me. Now, if I realized that every word was that sharp knife, my in-laws' regular knives are apparently razor sharp, which I didn't know. Would I speak the bad words? Would I speak the onas varam? Would I speak the rechilas? Would I say the late sons? Would I say the sheker? That's even so you don't think of Hashem, God forbid. You take that out of the equation. And you don't even think of the big bakal commandments. Let's say you take all that out of the equation. The ones go around cutting their lips. So why do we say the words? How much more so when a husband pierces his wife with the sword of a sharpened tongue? And therefore, it becomes necessary. People need to think, says Rav Avigdor Miller. What did I say during the day? Maybe I should train my tongue to be restrained. A person should think, maybe I'm too careless with my words. He says, husbands and wives, boys and girls, old sages and business people, everyone must spend some time thinking about how they speak. That's what Avigdor Miller says. You can't say I'm too busy. Business might say I'm too busy. Wife, mother might say she's too tired. The children might say we're too busy having fun, playing, going to school. No, everyone must spend some time thinking about how they speak. Rav Nachman Tzvi said to the chassid, what do you learn from the story? The chassid said, wow, I learned that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz had such a heart for Klal Yisrael. And Rav Nachman Tzvi said, that's very nice, but I learned something else. I learned how you should speak to your wife and be sensitive to your spouse. Well, Avigdor Miller continues, you should know that I consider ona'as dvarim, which is verbal oppression, the most serious michshal in marriage. Most serious of ne'ivelosita and michshal, stumbling block in marriage. For many years, I've dealt with people coming to me. Sometimes I succeeded, sometimes I didn't succeed, but I can tell you, the most troublesome times begin with ona'as dvarim, words that hurt. That's why when a chassan kala comes to ask for advice, this is one of the first things they should know. Ona'as dvarim is a very serious chet. Verbal oppression is a very serious sin. Unfortunately, some people spend all their lives saying unpleasant words to each other. 50 years of bickering and constant quarreling. Each time, 50 years hurting each other's feelings. I'm going to quit. I can't believe how when I was preparing this and going through this kontras, how many of the Divrei Tochacha. And it's not only tochacha, it's halacha. Avigdor Miller, ona'as dvarim is not only tochacha, it's not only musar, it's halacha, it's from the Torah, it's an isur d'oraisa. It's a knife in your mouth, a mamish knife in your mouth. I experienced it firsthand. But when I was preparing this, he speaks specifically about the Gemara, don't be late, and if you're going to be late, call your wife. Yehuda was punished because he was late. So what immediately came to mind was a biography, the story from the Maisa, from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, from Nassan Tzvi, vis-a-vis the visit to Kever Rachel Imenu, and it was just their yurtzeit. And now, next, 50 years of bickering and constant quarreling, each time hurting each other's feelings. I'm now going to quote from another biography of a tremendous, tremendous gadol in our time, coming up to his yurtzeit, actually. Mirza Rav Aaron Leib Steinman is Chof Dalet Kislev. He was nifter the night before Hanukkah. Okay, I think it's 6 years. So I'm Aaron Leib Steinman. Zeichot Tzadik Levracha. One second. Do I have to turn to the page? Sorry, I thought I had a little sticky here, but I'm not sure. There we go. One second. Sorry, I'm here. We're learning. Oh, there was a paper, there's a bookmark. Sorry. Okay, here it was. Okay, from the biography of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. If you didn't read this one, you should read it also, the art school biography. And people are desperate. They sometimes grasp at straws. Individuals often consulted with Rav Aaron Leib Steinman about various segulos. Oh, my son just showed me in Kol Ram over Sukkos, where Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about segulos. And my son knows that I am not into schools, to say the least. And Rav Moshe actually was on something on Kohelas. Befevre speaks about the same thing. We're all running for schools, red string, putting keys in challahs, 40 days this, 40 days that, running for schools. The Torah tells us how to live. The mitzvahs are the greatest schools. Why do we run to do things that aren't befevre's written down? We should be doing what the Rav Moshe wants from us. That's a schoola. So they came to Rav Aaron Leib and they're grasping at schools. He would tell them the best skula is to work on yourself and break your bad midos. If the person's in the midst of an argument with someone and he's right and he nevertheless concedes, he's mavater, Hashem will take note of his sacrifice and supplication. The more ingrained a bad mida is in the person, and I was thinking of this following thing there of Aaron Leib said, because for us, the more ingrained, the more used to we are about not thinking about our words, the harder it is to think about our words. The more we don't think about it, the harder it becomes to change a pattern of behavior. The more entrenched the negative actions are, the harder it is to make them positive. The more ingrained a bad mida is in the person, the stronger his plea to Hashem. What should we say? I am working on myself to do something that is very difficult for me. Please, Hashem, with your midos harachamim, please abolish and take away the difficult decree that rests upon me and my family. If you have the biography of Nassim Rav Aaron Leib, page 193 to 194. A person says, Davin, you have to ask Hashem to help you, but after Shah Hashem, you want to help. Please let me not open my mouth. Please let me recognize that words are a sword. Please let me know that the Rosh Hakeves, Mavis V'chaim B'Yalashon, is a marble, and it could bring destruction, or it could bring life. One more thing from Rav Aaron Leib. It is well known that there's a skula, if you fold your talis after Shabbos, you'll experience Shalom Bayis. Did anyone ever hear of that? I don't know. It's a well-known skula that if you fold your talis after Shabbos, you'll experience Shalom Bayis. Rav Aaron Leib said he knew a better skula. Fold up your sleeves on Motzei Shabbos and help your wife wash the dishes to alleviate her post-Shabbos burden. That's the best skula for Shalom Bayis. He frequently repeated the following story when speaking to Chassanim about Shalom Bayis. A certain person came to Rav Aaron Leib, it doesn't give his real name, to discuss extensive Shalom Bayis problems they were having. In order to have a successful marriage, said Rav Aaron Leib, you must do three things. Mevater, mevater, mevater. The man looked at Rav Aaron Leib dumbfounded and he said, that's what I tell my wife all the time, and she's still not listening to me. Rav Aaron Leib would often tell this story over. He commented, each person must internalize what they need to work on. Each person must improve their own midos. That is the key to success in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Elaborating on this, he said, another key to marriage is one should not try to educate one's spouse. Much friction is caused when one sets goals of changing the other person instead of changing their own midos. And here we go, the connection to Rav Avigdor Miller, Mamish Beferish connection. An older person with a long flowing white beard came to Rav Aaron Leib for a bracha. Please bless me that I should have Shalom Bayis, he begged. I'm always fighting with my wife. How long have you been married? Asked Rav Aaron Leib. A bit more than 50 years, said the man. Rav Aaron Leib was appalled. You are married for 50 years and you haven't learned that the most important thing in a marriage is to work on your midos and to break your bad habits. And the footnote says that this story, this ma'aseh, was heard from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And came, he says, I'm married for 50 years. He says, you've married for 50 years. You don't know that the most important thing in marriage is how you speak to your wife, how you work on your midos, how you train yourself and change yourself from Ben Adam Echaveiro. Going back to Rav Avigdor Miller. Unfortunately, some people spend all their lives saying unpleasant words to each other. 50 years of bickering. Constant quarreling. What did Avram say to Lot? Al na ti merive. Al na tihi miriva beinu v'neichem, ben ro'ayu beinu echa. There shouldn't be a quarrel. There shouldn't be a fight. You have to stop fighting. Each time with these words, we hurt other people's feelings. These people are spending their lives in careless words. They have to know what a great burden is going to be on them, a very great guilt. Now, of course, if you're a wise person, you might want to say, what do words mean? I'll forget about the words. That's right. That's what you should do. Make believe you never heard it. But not always are both wise. Sometimes one is not so wise and they can't forget they heard it. And what you said to her, or what she said to you, who knows how long it will cause friction. And it becomes a poison, like the venom of a snake, those words. Or you could say it becomes like a sharp sword, like a razor sharp knife. Mama's razor sharp, I couldn't believe it. I never saw a regular dinner knife. I'm not talking about a steak knife, not a vegetable knife, not a paring knife. It was mama's razor sharp. I barely touched it to my lips. And on that great day of judgment, the snake will point at you. And he will say, that's the truly wicked. What he's talking about in the Olam HaEmes, if we spent our days causing pain to other people with our words. Now, as much as the tongue can be a dangerous weapon in the hands of a careless person, mavas v'chaim b'yadashan, the opportunities for doing good with your tongue to heal instead of destroy are just as readily available. So the flip side is, the positive side is that Hashem did give us this organ. He gave us this tool. We have a tendency to forget its power. Unlike Rav Kilson, quoting Rav Meilich Biderman, it's running free all day. What do you mean, Hashem Sefasai Tivtach? Who are we kidding? The whole day it's running free. But the opposite is also true. We can do so much good with our words. I'm skipping a little because our time's way up, but I wanted to say. Okay, last paragraph. In Mishlei, it also says, Mirapelashon eitz chayim. Mirapelashon, like rofei. Mirapelashon, a healing tongue, eitz chayim, is a tree of life. That means if you train yourself how to speak to people, to make them feel good, you're going to become a very great professor of medicine. With your tongue, you can accomplish more than physicians do. People are ailing, spiritually ailing, emotionally ailing, psychologically ailing. Everyone needs a word of consolation. Everyone needs a friendly expression. Everyone needs a compliment. You'll be surprised at how important a kind, friendly word is. Don't think that because a person is an extrovert and he's bubbling with talk and it's hard to get a word in sideways that he doesn't need it. Don't worry. Every person is listening for some positive word of encouragement for you. And he says, people call me all the time. They want advice, but they don't let me talk. They just talk, talk, talk. But sometimes I can get in your right. They don't want advice. They want justification and kind words. Everyone needs a little more joy in their lives. You know, before Shabbos, I thought of something. I sent someone a voice note. And she replied back, someone who has different medical challenges with multiple family members. She replied back, thank you. And then she wrote, I needed a smile. How long does it take to give a kind word to someone? And the reply is, I needed a smile. That's what your tongue is for. It's not for ona'as devarim. It's for the refuah. And if you say one kind word, he will remember. And it will change his day. It will change his life. Because as much as a wicked word remains forever, a kind word is even more. So we began with two insights into Parshas Noach. And we went to my son's notes from Rav Kiel Sinzvad on Lashon Hara last week. Then we went to Rav Victor Miller, tied into Rav Nesson Sufink, Rav Chaim, Shmuel Avad Zecher Tzadik Levrech, and Rachel Imenu, finally Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. That person has to know ultimately that mamish, our words are a sword in our mouth. And I could tell you firsthand that it mamish happened to me Friday night. And if that's how we thought of our words, we would not be so quick to pull them out of our mouths if we thought of this physical parallel. And so truly, mavis v'chayim b'yad lashon, like my son said, he ended with, we should be zocher to be zahir in our chas v'shalom being nichshal. And lashon hara, it should bring tremendous chuyos to all of us. And we should be zocher to see mirapa lashon eitz chayim. A healing tongue is a tree of life. Like Rav Aaron Leib Steinman said, daven Hashem. The more something becomes habitual, the harder it is to break it. Ask Ribbono Shel Olam to help you break this bad tendency so that every word that comes out of our mouth can be healing and positive for ourselves and for others. May the neshamos of Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav v'Chana and Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya merit aliyos, zechiros letova, zchusam yagin aleinu, and the merit of today's Divrei Torah. And I wish us all a heretzog of siyata d'shmaya in this tremendous avodas HaKodesh. Ezra Hashem, thank you so much, everybody. I wish you all day and a week of besoros tovas. Kol tov, and thank you.